Well, we begin here, Matthew 7, pick it up at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man, impious, godless, a rebel, like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. A man built his house. He built it on the rock. His house was founded on the rock. And a man built his house. He built it on the sand. Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. It was well built. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. A man built a house. He dug deep. He dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And a man built his house and he didn't dig. He didn't dig deep. Or perhaps just a small sand shovel. One would use to build sandcastles. He built on the earth without a foundation. Both men built on earth, both men living on earth, both men built. You know, Jesus spoke this parable, and how important a parable it is. He spoke this parable to people living on earth. When you set out to build a house, you choose a location. You choose a plot of ground, a plot of earth. You choose a lot. You choose the designs of that which you are going to build. There are plans and there are blueprints, many details. One builds with intent. The Bible says, Luke 14, 28 to 30, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The Message paraphrase reads, is there anyone here who planning to build a new house doesn't first sit down and figure the cost? So you'll know if you can complete it. If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something. He couldn't finish. And so, here are two men intending to build, and They, in fact, did build houses. Was one building a mountain home and the other building a beach house? That's not the case concerning this parable. This is not what Jesus was getting at. Could the houses, could the homes have been right next to each other? The two neighbors, next door neighbors. Tracking in this manner and call the ground the same, the surface the same. Let's say the ground was sandy. The ground was sand. The surface and depth to a certain point. The plots, the lots. You know, one man starts digging. And one man just starts building. Perhaps moving a little sand. One man concerned with foundation. First things first, and this is crucial. And one man concerned, and one man not concerned. Hey, neighbor, you should dig down deep. You really should dig down deep and lay foundation on the rock. Nah. I'll be okay. It'll be okay. I'm sure it's just fine. I mean, how deep would I have to dig? I'm sure this sandcastle will be just fine. You see, the wise knew that sand is no foundation. The wise knew and the wise know that the only way to build is to dig deep, to get down to rock, get down to the rock, to rock bed, to bed rock. Did the one who built on sand just think it really didn't matter? That a foundation was of no use? It wasn't needed? Did the one who built on sand, on earth, decide that digging deep cost too much and took too much effort? House up as quick as can. Did the one who built on sand decide to put the money for the foundation, the cost of the foundation elsewhere, you know, a larger house, a taller house, seemingly more extravagant, which couldn't be if he spent so much on foundation? And what of the time it would take to dig deep, so to lay proper foundation? Jesus spoke the parable, and one man is called wise. One man is called foolish. The tale of two foundations. Two foundations. The great foundation is rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ. And the rock is his sayings. The things he says. Two men in the earth, two men on the earth, and the one knows he needs the rock, and the other thinks that sand is just fine, a foundation. Rock and sand. Rock and earth. All other ground is sand. All other ground is earth. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is earthly. You know, the truth is, no one can stop us from having the foundation of the wise. The wise foundation. You see, it's up to the builders. It was in their hands. They both had access to the rock. They both could have had the same foundation. They both could have been rock men. Men of the rock. Men on the rock. Jesus and his sayings, the teachings of Jesus. Just an old rock song from when I was a younger man. The earth is shaking, it's like a bad dream. The world is crumbling, coming apart at the seam. But I am on the rock. Everywhere I'm turning, it's only bad news. This bomb is ticking and we're getting to the end of the fuse. But I am on the rock. Are you ready? I am on the rock, the sure foundation. I am on the rock of Jesus. I am on the rock, his salvation. I am on the rock. Though the winds may blow and though the floods may grow, I shall not be moved because I am on the rock. The storm's approaching. I'm standing high and dry, firmly planted on the rock that is higher than I am on the rock. Kingdoms falling, kingdoms failing, they fall around me. Plans eroded and washing away to the sea. I am on the rock. Are you ready? There is no rock in this world but our God, Jesus. And so, you know, rock and roll wasn't all bad, was it? Both men heard. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. But he who heard and did nothing. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, the footnote, if you love me, you will keep. Is this what it means to dig deep and build on rock? Because the keeping is not just hearing, but doing. Rock is hear and keep. Sand is hear and do nothing. Do not keep. Well, the call to build on rock, to build on the rock, to build on Christ Jesus. No other foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. No other foundation. It's got to be the rock, Christ Jesus. Don't be confused. The foundation is Christ, and we are laying foundation on the foundation. Lay the foundation on the foundation. And yet he and his sayings are not literally in the ground. And so there is this element, Jesus Christ, the rock, and his sayings laid down as a foundation. I know the tenor of 1 Corinthians 3, but my, it speaks to the building of a life, an expression, a home, a family in the earth and on the earth. The Message paraphrase reads, remember, there is only one foundation. The good news is God gifts that we might be gifted builders. There is only one foundation, the only one, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. Is it possible to build wrong on the rock? Obviously, the answer is yes. You'd say, if I build wrong, am I even building on the rock? How many have built a life on Jesus, endeavored to build a life on Jesus, but haven't been careful, haven't taken particular care in picking out the building materials? How many have endeavored, are endeavoring to build on his sayings, but there are way too many cheap and inferior materials on site? Let each one take heed how they build. How they build on the rock, how they build on Jesus, how they build on his sayings, how they build on this holy foundation. The only way to build right is to hear the sayings of Jesus and do them. People, we got to dig deep. Church of the Living God, we got to dig deep. How do you even begin? And what of those that don't yet really know Jesus? Perhaps an introduction, but not inducted. Well, it begins with the surrender of your life, your world, your everything. Until then, even if we take his sayings and build on them, the matter of him being our Savior and Lord, our Master, our everything, and we being completely his, has not been dealt with. John 3:16-21, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the embodiment of the love of God, love personified, love on display, love sent on a love mission. And Good Friday's coming. What love and mercy and grace is extended in the person of Jesus Christ? What hope and what peace and what promise and what friendship? And so we surrender all. The wise surrender all. We've got to give our lives to him, for he gave his life for us that we might have life and life more abundant. Sinners in need of a Savior. The wise take hold of a proper shovel and they begin. We begin digging. We begin digging deep and deeper. And we start building on the rock. We start building on his sayings. And a house is taking shape as we build on Jesus. A life is taking shape as we build on Jesus. A home is taking shape as we build on Jesus. A marriage is taking shape as we build on Jesus. Heritage and lineage is taking shape as we build on Jesus, not with inferior materials or cheap materials, but we dig deep and we build right. We start building. Taking particular care in picking out our building materials. You know, one little pig built with straw. One little pig, sticks. One little pig, Bricks. Huff Puff, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Pig! But what of sheep? What do sheep build with? There we are building. And a con shows up. You know, the con man. The wise take to building. We're digging deep. Proper shovel. Beware the con. Romans 8, 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, literally fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, because of his Spirit who dwells in you. Reject condemnation, embrace conviction. Both start with C-O-N. One is a con when it comes to the Christian. But what if the right C-O-N showed up on site? You know, to help us, to point out inferior materials, to point out cheap materials. Conviction is not an enemy. Conviction is not our enemy. Contractor. Floods, storms, revealing, inspection. Lord, help us before. No condemnation. But thank God for conviction. If the con man shows up on site, the condemnation man, remember what Christ has done. That you are founded on the rock. And if you are, if all is well, reject the con man. If you're not sure, ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Ghost to inspect the site. The con man, condemnation man, showing up is a flood. Winds blowing and beating, stream beating vehemently. And when the flood comes, unleash the flood inside of you and let that con man be flooded away and drowned, because you have been flooded by and with the love of God. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The New King James Version, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us, poured out. This flood. Flooded by the flood, the flooding of God's love. The Voice translation reads, the Holy Spirit was given to us. The Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. Oh, that the flood would rise today. that we would feel the flood of his love, that we would leave this place so flooded with the love of God that no con man would ever have his way with us. Perhaps we need to feel the flood. Perhaps we need to be flooded as if all over again. You see, there was nothing wrong with the flood, the good flood. But has there been wrong concerning us? The words of David Wilkerson, "The Father loves you." It is at this point of understanding that multitudes of believers fail God. They are willing to be convicted of sin and failure over and over again, but they will not allow the Holy Spirit to flood them with the love of the Father. The legalist loves to live under conviction. He has never understood the love of God or allowed the Holy Spirit to minister that love to his soul. We have taught that the righteous person, the true lover of Jesus, loves reproof. He learns to welcome having the Holy Spirit expose all the hidden areas of sin and unbelief, because the more he deals with sin, the happier and freer he becomes. The attitudes I see in response to my ministry, newsletter messages vary. When I write a message that thunders with judgment, I get overwhelmingly approving responses. When I share about the sweetness and love of Jesus, I receive letters saying, "You are not preaching the truth anymore." It is as though these people are saying, if you are not reproving, then you are not saying. What you are saying cannot be the gospel. Such believers have never entered into the great love mission of the Holy Spirit. This is an area where you must learn to walk in the Spirit and not follow feelings. Walking in the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit to do in you what he was sent to do. And that means allowing him to flood your heart right now with the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, Romans 5:5. Isaiah said, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem," Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah was writing to a stubborn people of God who went on frowardly, rebelliously, in the way of their heart, Isaiah 57:17. Gospel means good tidings. It means good news. You know, we must understand that both newsletter messages are good tidings. Good news. If the message thunders, and if the message sounds sweetness and love, someone would cry out, "One's gospel and one's not." We cannot fail in this. We cannot fail God in this dilemma. But not for the ones grounded on truth. Responses. But the message goes forth not swayed by responses, hindered by responses, affected or affected by responses. It goes forth and it's not altered by responses or for responses. The trumpet is just the trumpet. The sound is of the Lord. A trumpet cannot, nor does it, blow itself, sound itself. It doesn't sound its own tune. The trumpet sounds what the master plays. That's how it works. That's how it should work. The attitudes I see in response to my ministry newsletter messages vary. You know what? It will always be. However, a trumpet doesn't just sound one tune. When I write a message that thunders with judgment, I get overwhelmingly approving responses. When I share about the sweetness and love of Jesus, I receive letters saying, "You are not preaching the truth anymore." It is as though these people are saying, if you are not reproving, then what you are saying cannot be the gospel. And yet, what of this side also? When I preach a message that thunders with the sweetness and love of Jesus, I get overwhelmingly approving responses. When I share about judgment, I receive letters saying, you are not preaching the truth anymore. It's as though these people are saying, if you are not approving, then what you are saying cannot be the gospel. My Lord, I know this. When one who loves me has come to me to show me error, to lead me into understanding, to guide me out of folly, it's been love. And it's been good tidings, and it's been good news. And so too, when one comes to me with approval, we're talking about righteous approval, with sweetness and love, this too has been love. This too has been good tidings and good news. Dig deep, and you'll know. Dig deep, and we'll know. You know that a flood of conviction has produced much good? A flood of love has produced much good. And both are spelled L-O-V-E. May we be flooded by this revelation today. Worship ministry, please come. What do I do with these? Flooded mind, flooded will, emotions, soul, spirit, heart. Have you been flooded with the love of God? You have been flooded with the love of God, and let the Holy Ghost flood these with the heart of God, and let the flood within rage against any raging. And when the enemy shows up, when the enemy tries to come in like a flood, if you're already flooded, there's no room, for there is a standard raised. You know, get the mind, will, and emotions all and all founded on the rock. And surely this would help, because we know the mind has way with much of us. Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Wow. Let's pull up life right beside this text. Let's pull up mind right beside this text. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. The Message paraphrase, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you heard from me. What you heard and saw and realized, do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Keep to the script and kept. So let's build on the rock. And the promise is that when the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on our house, it will not fall, for it is founded on the rock. Build on the rock, and the truth is that as a man, woman building a house who digs deep and lays foundation on the rock, when the flood arises, the stream beats vehemently against our house. It cannot shake us. It cannot shake it, for it is founded on the rock. Build and build with right material. All of the ground is sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You know, some are indeed building sand castles on sand. And the tide comes, and they be no more. Even the most extravagant and elaborate I've seen washed away and know nothing left, as if they never existed, as if they were never built, as if they never stood, washed away. Washed away. Well, what if the homes of the two men were tents? No, it's not in the text. But I think of the individual. I think of the man. I think of the woman, a tent of a life. The legs of a man, the pegs of a man, pegs of a tent. Get grounded, campers, wanderers, travelers, pilgrims. Get founded. We aren't here forever, but while we are, solid ground, secured in and to solid ground. The rain is coming, the floods and winds and streams of vehement nature, and the flood, no, not of water, for God said he would never again flood the earth, but there is an end coming. There's an end game. There's an end coming. And a gateway to glory for the saints. There's an end coming. There is a judgment coming. But a gateway to glory for the saints. And a storm. Is it not upon us now? How many swept away, and even now there's a sweeping away. Falling away. Back to the house, and the Lord says, dig deep and get founded on the rock and build with the materials I would have you build with, because I have given you a foundation that can handle it all. And I want for you a house that can handle it all. We're talking about a life. We're talking about a home. We're talking about a family. We're talking about a marriage. We're talking about a church that's floodproof. Foolproof. Rock, not sand. All else is sinking sand, founded on Christ and the Word, and He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In beginning, in every beginning, begin right. And every promise and every word, rhema and prophetic, specific, founded and grounded, dig deep and get building on this foundation and build with gold, silver, and precious stones. No flood in the end, at least not one of water. You know, maybe you've been building, but you haven't been careful. We talked about devil at the tent, didn't we? Well, maybe there's someone else in your home, an enemy, a devil, you know, like the big bad wolf, and after you, little sheep, because we're no swine, we're no pigs. Let me in. No, no, no. I'll huff and I'll puff. And I'll blow your house down. Well, you can huff and you can puff all you want, but this is a Jesus house. This is a rock house. This is rock solid. Hey, Little Red Riding Hood. Kick the wolf out of bed and out of your house. Little Red. Well, beautiful time in the house of the Lord. And my, how I love and look forward to every water baptism service. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, a founding. They've surrendered their life. They've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one go with them, still they're going to follow the cross before them, the world behind them. No turning back. A new creation life, a founding, and now the waters of baptism fitting to fulfill all righteousness. We're talking about holy water today. This is no sterile water. This is powerful water. And here, a right flooding of full immersion according to the New Testament, according to the Word of God. Jesus surrendered his own life to the waters of baptism. Amazing, isn't it? You know, I thought about it last night. I'm like, can you imagine baptizing Jesus? I mean, what do you even say? I baptize you into your own name. I just really feel to touch on this real quick, this rebaptism thing that's going around in the world. Because you weren't baptized in the name of Jesus. It's baloney, people. What name was Jesus baptized into? Is his baptism void?
Think about it. Think about it.
What must I do to be saved? Repent. Be baptized. And my God, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord.